Let us turn again to the Word of God and that place which we were considering last Wednesday evening, and that is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This text is full of truth, and it's speaking to us of Christ and his people, Christ dying for his people, and Christ living in his people. It is a wonderful thing to say, Christ liveth in me. And it is so wonderful that believers may even hesitate to say it. But the truth is, Christ dwells in the hearts of all his people. As Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And Paul says about Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the object of faith. Faith looks to Christ. And it is by faith that a believer is delivered from the guilt and power of sin. And it is by faith that we become like Christ. It is looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that we will have the grace to run with patience the race that is set before us. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say not only that Christ lives in me, but Christ died for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. Every believer can say this. This is the truth that describes every child of God. Every child of God can rightly say, Christ loved me and died for me. But perhaps you're not able to say that. Even the children of God don't always have the confidence to say, Jesus died for me. Now, that might seem strange to some ears because there are ministers who go around telling everybody, Jesus died for you. God loves you. Jesus died for you. Now, you say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Well, that's what the Arminians teach, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Christ died for his people. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, the church. He gave his life for the sheep, and not all are his sheep. But Paul is saying about Christ, he loved me and gave himself for me, and that is what every true child of God would like to be able to say with confidence, being assured that Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. Would you like to be able to say that? Well, with the Lord's help, we want to consider how it is that a person can be able to say about Christ who loved me and gave himself for me. Last Wednesday, we considered the first part of this verse. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. We were considering the death with Christ, being crucified with him, and then secondly, life by Christ and how he lives in his people. And now we desire to consider faith in Christ. And more specifically, first of all, the application of faith. That is, faith appropriating Christ. Faith receiving Christ to oneself and applying Christ to oneself. The application of faith. And secondly, the reflex of faith. That is, a person begins to be conscious that he or she is believing in Christ, the reflex of faith. And thirdly, the dependence of faith. And that is what we gather from Paul saying, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. He's living by faith. What he does by faith. The life that he lives, the grace that he has, is all because of faith in Christ, receiving grace from Christ, depending on Christ for life and strength. So this is the dependence of faith. And every believer depends upon Christ for his or her strength to go on in this world, depending upon Christ. So first of all, the application of faith, and secondly, the reflex of faith, and thirdly, the dependence of faith. The application of faith. Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. But we could ask Paul, yes, you live by the faith of the Son of God, but what aspect of Christ, his person and work, do you look to, Paul? With what view of Christ do you thus believe on him? Well, Paul is telling us very plainly, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the sacrificial death of Christ that he is speaking of, where Christ loved the church, as we mentioned already, and gave himself for the church. That giving himself, of course, is giving himself over to death, his laying down his life for his church. Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me, as the Lord Jesus himself says, for the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Christ redeems his people, setting them free from the curse of the law and the wrath of God. He sets them free by satisfying divine justice, paying what was due to the justice of God to set them at liberty. That is redemption, deliverance by the payment of a ransom price. He paid the price of his own blood. That is giving his life, a ransom for many. And so Paul is saying, he loved me and gave himself for me. And so that brings us really back to the first part of the text, which Paul is speaking of the crucifixion. I am crucified with Christ. Christ was crucified, and Paul says, I am crucified with him because he represented me on the cross. He stood in my room and place. He died for me. And Paul ends the verse by saying, he gave himself for me. So here is Paul believing in Christ for salvation. And every sinner who hears the gospel is called upon to believe in Christ for salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And we are to look to Jesus dying on the cross so that we might be saved from our sins by his death on the cross. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And the gospel tells us, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And here is Paul. He believes in Christ. His sin is forgiven. And he lives by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And it's a blessed thing to be able to say that Jesus took away my sins. He died for me and put away my sin by the sacrifice of himself. But how can a believer arrive at that point to say he loved me and gave himself for me? Some weak believer might say, well, I can understand that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And like poor Joseph, when he heard that sermon, he heard that text being preached, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And why not me? I'm a sinner. He came to save sinners. Well, there is hope for me. And so the person who's really believing Christ is saying in his or her soul, my only hope is Christ. If I am to be saved, I can only be saved by Christ. And so I look to Christ to save me. And I am laying hold of him. He alone can save. This is my only hope, and this is where I rest. And if it's not by Christ, then I won't be saved. Christ is the foundation of my hope. If I have hope for eternity, hope of the forgiveness of sins, it is Christ alone. Here is where I rest. My soul rests here upon this one foundation. But how do I get from that to say, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? Well, it may not be as far as you think. As Ralph Erskine puts it, what is brought before us here is not the language of sense, it's not feeling, it's not the language of unbelief, it's the language of faith. How can that be? Who loved me and gave himself for me? Jesus, I know, died for sinners. He died for his people, but we don't know who all are the elect. But we do know this, that he died for sinners. Well, that is the very point. You know he saves sinners. You know, therefore, he loved sinners. He loved sinners and died for sinners. And what are you? You're a sinner, so why not you? You know this, that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And are you prepared to say, yes, I am ungodly by nature? There's not that many people that would admit they're ungodly. But you know that you're ungodly. And are you not resting on that truth? He died for the ungodly. Well, if you're looking to Christ who died for the ungodly and you're saying, he died for sinners like me, he died for the ungodly like me. Well, this is the self-application of faith that we're speaking about. What you're saying is, I take this truth to myself, I apply it to me, he died for the ungodly. Well, I'm ungodly, he died for the ungodly, he died for, you can almost put the word me next to it. And you end up saying, he died for me. He died for sinners. I am a sinner. I have hope only in Christ dying for sinners, dying for me. And it's, I think, just like David in Psalm 91, speaking about the Lord being a refuge. And those who abide in him are protected. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now what David is going to do, if he is the inspired penman, it doesn't say that he is, he's going to apply it to himself. He says now, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And he's applying the truth that those who dwell in the secret of the place, secret place of the Most High, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's applying it to himself, so he is my refuge, and I'm looking to him to be my refuge, my strength, my God. And so, when a believer is looking to Christ, that believer is saying, I'm looking to him as my Savior to take away my sins. There's personal application. And it's almost the same as saying he loved me and gave himself for me because he is my Savior. And if so, then he saved me by dying for me, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, Christ is freely offered to us in the gospel. And we are looking to him as our Savior, dying for our sins, loving us and giving himself for us, as if we are projecting ourselves into that truth. We're inserting our name into that. Instead of sinner, we're saying me. You could think of it this way. If you wrote down this truth that Jesus loved sinners and gave himself for sinners, and you say that's true, that's what the Bible teaches. Everyone he died for, they were all ungodly, all sinners. He died for sinners. He loved sinners and gave himself for sinners. This is my hope. He is a savior for me because he's offered to me freely. And this is my hope. He's a savior for me. Well, then, next to the word sinners, put your own name there, or the word me. Jesus loved sinners, me, and gave himself for sinners, me, because that's my hope. And so this is the self-application of faith. By taking Christ to ourselves, we are in effect saying, he loved me and gave himself for me. And this takes place at the Lord's Supper. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, when faith is brought to lively exercise and we receive the bread and wine and we're so taken up with Christ and nothing else but Christ that he is more precious to our souls and our hearts are going out to him and we cannot help believing and even feeling that he loved us and gave himself for us. And that should encourage a poor, weak believer to seek to come to the Lord's table, even for the first time. But there is also the reflex of faith. Another way to gain assurance is by self-examination and the reflex act of faith to conclude that Christ loved us and gave himself for us. We are not only believing in Christ, but we are perceiving. We perceive that we believe in Christ. It's faith, as it were, is reflexive and comes back to itself to consider that it is actually believing in Christ. Probably it is better to say that the person that is believing is reflecting and is conscious that he or she is believing in Christ. Well, we should certainly reflect on our exercises of soul. We are to assess our spiritual condition. We're to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith, whether we have faith in Christ, whether we are one of his people, do we have the evidence of it? What does Scripture teach to be the characteristics of those who have believed in Christ? And do we have those characteristics? Do we have the evidence that we have saving faith? And if we have those marks and those evidences that the Scripture points out as characteristic only of God's children, then we can conclude, we should conclude, we have a right to conclude, a scriptural warrant to conclude that we are the Lord's people, and not only that we are the Lord's people, but the Lord Jesus died for us, that he loved me and gave himself for me. So we should ask ourselves, is Christ precious to us? Peter says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Is sin bitter to us? Ye that love the Lord hate evil. It's the Lord's people who truly hate evil. Sin is a bitter thing to them. And is the law something we delight in? Like Paul, who says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And therefore, those who have these evidences have evidence that Christ died for them because the Spirit dwells in them. And the Spirit unites us to Christ. And if we are united to Christ, we are one with him. We know that he represented us. He died for us. I am crucified with Christ. Well, we should therefore examine ourselves. We should compare ourselves now with what we were in the past. I'm not sure what the context was, but John Newton said, I am not what I would be. I desire to be better than I am. I am not what I will be. I will be changed. But also, he says, I am not what I once was. I am not what I once was. He was an angry slave ship captain, wasn't he? Well, God had changed him. He was lost, but now he sees. And then he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by grace that believers have experienced that change. And so we are to look at ourselves and see the difference, if there is a difference, between our past and the present. You might be saying, well, I come so far short. I am not what I wish to be. Well, there's an evidence of humility. But do you really desire to be what Christ would have you to be? And do you desire that place where there is no sin and there's nothing but praise? As Paul speaks of in Colossians chapter 1 about being thankful for what God has done, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That is, he has regenerated us, he has changed us, he is preparing us for eternal glory. And then he says, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's been a translation from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. This is the work of God. This is what he has done for his people. It's evidence of a saving change. He's looking at the past and the present as if the change was instantaneous. It is in regard to being born again, the Holy Spirit putting a new heart in us. But often we see it's a gradual thing in the life experience, a spiritual experience of a child of God. A gradual turning from sin to righteousness. But if God has put it in your heart to desire the light, to follow Christ, the light of the world, to be grieving over and repenting of sin and turning to the Lord in new obedience, if that's the desire of your heart and the endeavor of your life, is it not evidence that the Holy Spirit dwells in you? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ liveth in me, Paul says. And you see, if you can say Christ lives in me, you can also say Christ died for me. It's not just a feeling we have, but it's a conclusion we come to based upon the authority of God's word. This is something that we are learning and we are discovering. Not something that we just sense and that we feel. John says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. If there is a desire for Christ, if there is love to God, a desire for his glory, and you love his people, and you have the evidence of love to God because you love his people and you love his ways, well, you can say we love him because he first loved us. We don't love him because we know he first loved us, but we love him. And who put that love in our hearts? Who put the love in our hearts for his children, for his worship, for his word? Who put that love in our hearts? It was God, because he first loved us and therefore gave us that love to himself. And so we can conclude that he loved us from eternity. You see, we base our conclusions upon the unchanging word of God. And so if we love Christ and we desire to please him and keep his commandments, we can say, rightly say, scripturally say, we have a right to say, Christ lives in me and he died for me. the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You might say, well, how can I live Christ's life? I desire that Christ, his life, would be more and more manifest in my life. I wish that there was more evidence of Christ living in me, and how can I have more of that evidence? How can Christ's life become more manifest in me? Well, it's by depending on Christ. The life which I now live in the flesh here in this world, I live by the faith of the Son of God, depending upon him. That's what faith is. It's relying on Christ. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so, as we depend on Christ, we will see more of his life manifest in us. And that's what we consider finally, thirdly, in conclusion, life of a child of God is a life of faith. And though Christ lives in us, yet we are not looking so much to Christ in us, but to Christ outside us. That is, Jesus is the object of faith, and we are to look to him. Him who is at the right hand of the Father, the one who suffered and died on the cross and is now making continual intercession for us. Believers live a life of faith, a life of dependence, a life of dependence on Christ. Believers are helpless of themselves. They can do nothing of themselves. Jesus did not hesitate to say to his own people, without me, ye can do nothing. But abiding in him, living on him, living on him, we will bear much fruit. You might say to your child, well, that bread is good for him, or that particular food is good for her. That's what he lives on. That's what she lives on. Well, believers live on Christ. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I can't live any other way. I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not by my works. It's not by my own strength. It's not by my courage and my valor and my faithfulness. It's by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, and I have no other hope but him. Is that the way you feel tonight? Poor, helpless, weak child of God, you're not ashamed to own it. You're nothing. You can do nothing. You're as weak as anything. Absolutely, yes. But Jesus is still calling you. Rise up and come. He is saying, this do in remembrance of me. And you might be even overwhelmed sometimes and frightened by the difficulties and duties, but he is calling you to roll your burden upon him. He's not calling you to carry on your own. And this duty of remembering his death, he's not requiring us to go in our own strength, but to lean on him to enable us. And that is the reason believers come to the table, for strength, for nourishing. Why would they stay away from the table? Why would they stay away? It's the place to get strength, for spiritual nourishing and growth in grace. You say, I'm weak, I'm almost stunted. Would you not come to the table because of that? This is a place where you might expect more grace and growth in grace. Well, there are reasons, there are motives for seeking that assurance that Christ died for us. To be able to say, Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. This is something that is a privilege way up here that very few believers can ever expect. We should all, if we're believers in Christ, strive to be able to say it. He loved me and gave himself for me. Because knowing that Christ died for us strengthens us in our walk. And to know that he died for me, how can I go on in sin? Now, what ingratitude to Christ, who loved me and put away my sin. He died for me, and how can I do the very thing that he died for and sin against him and wound him and pierce him? He loved me and gave himself for me, and that makes me want to live for him. The love of Christ constraineth me. And may that love constrain you, friend. The love that is revealed in the gospel, Christ loving sinners and dying for sinners. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, that this would be your hope as well, that you would come to an end of yourself, that you would rest upon the Son of God dying for the ungodly. It is a love that is commended to us and is held out to us. Why? For our acceptance. Not for you to say, well, that's a nice story. It must be for the very privileged. No, it's offered to you, friend. And you are called upon this night to take Christ for yourself. Christ is offered to you in particular, as if no one else were in this room tonight. And that's the way you should think. By self-appropriating faith, apply Christ to yourself. Take Christ to yourself. Say, he died for the ungodly. Why not me? And look to him that you might be able to say, he loved me and gave himself for me. May he bless his word. Let us pray.